Welcome to Taste and See, a conversational podcast where we discuss what it looks like to savor and share God's goodness through home. I'm your host, Jessica, and today I'm talking with Laura, a mom and wife to a Mississippi farmer. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Jessica. Thank you so much for having me. It is really a joy to be here.
I am delighted to have you and be talking with you today. Before we get started, I would love for you to tell me a little bit about yourself and your family and life on a farm, all of that.
Well, my name is Laura Good. I am a wife, mama, and a photographer. I am married to a multi-generational farmer, and we actually live on our farm. So most of the year, our house is surrounded by corn, cotton, and soybeans. We have some cattle and some catfish ponds. And so we have a little bit of everything, but we absolutely love it. And a little backstory on how my husband and I met. I was a freshman and he was a senior in college. And we had a lot of mutual friends. And that's kind of what brought us together. We had never met before our first date. So we set ourselves up on a blind date. But when we went to dinner, we just hit it off immediately, ended up talking for several hours just about faith, you know, the families who formed us, just all the things that we feel God calling us to. And so, yeah, a couple of years after that, we got married and moved to Macon, Mississippi, where we live now, a very tiny town. And so that's where we farm. And since then I have just really fallen in love with being a farmer's wife and raising our children in the country and, building our home and community here. It's really been a gift.
So when you met him on that first blind date, did he already know he intended to be a farmer, like to continue with the family farming business?
Yes, he did. Okay. And that's actually an interesting question because he will always say that was one of his biggest challenges with just finding a woman who also shares the values mm-hmm. that come with, you know, living, knowing that they're going to live in one place, likely for the rest of their life, who will embrace the lifestyle that comes with farming.
Yeah, that's true. I hadn't thought of that. And was that something that you were like at all taken aback by or had to kind of think about like, oh, do I want this? Or were you instantly on board?
I was pretty instantly on board, and I think that that was just God's grace because all growing up, I grew up in a small town, actually Laurel, Mississippi. Mm-hmm. Most people will know Laurel by the HGTV show Hometown. So that's where I grew up, and so it's still a very small town, but I didn't grow up on a farm, and so I didn't really know what came with that. Mm-hmm. However, my grandfather is a cattle farmer. And so I was familiar with that part of agriculture, but the Lord put in my heart from a very early age, just the desire to live in the country and just live in a smaller town. That was always something that I mm-hmm. desired. And so I think that was just him preparing me for where I am now.
So I often start by asking my guests to kind of give us a little bit of insight into you and your personality, looking at your life and looking even at your childhood home, going into adulthood, going into marriage. Was hospitality and homemaking and creating a warm, inviting home, was that something you felt equipped to do, something that you really saw well done through your childhood, or was it a real learning curve for you as you entered adulthood?
It's a really good question. So my childhood was definitely one of the most formative things to who I am mm-hmm. as a homemaker, because I was actually raised in a real cheaper by the dozen family. I have 11 siblings.
Oh my goodness, that's amazing.
Yes. my mom stayed home with all of us and homeschooled all of us. And so, home was really central to those formative years. One of the big things that we had growing up was we all took part in taking care of our home and how it ran smoothly. So we were all given different responsibilities at appropriate ages, the normal chores that you would think of, like cleaning bathrooms, keeping your room clean, helping clean up the kitchen, those kinds of things, but also things like learning to make bread and learning to prep dinner and making the home an inviting atmosphere for guests. And so those were all things that I learned growing up. And my mom was really one of the greatest examples to me of just serving and using her role in the home to bless others. And so I just watched her as a young girl, just she and my dad were always inviting various people of all walks of life into our home, serving them meals, simple meals, but she always did things to make them special and just really was an example of what it looks like to be the hands of Jesus through the avenue of home. And so I watched that growing up. So I did feel pretty equipped going into this season because of that example in my mom. And I do recognize what a rare gift that is these days. And it's something that I really am passionate about passing on to our children. And also just being a resource to other women who maybe didn't have the privilege of a mom at home who could instill some of those skill sets, but really desire to grow in that. So yeah, I'm very thankful for that.
It's fun to hear all the different perspectives on this and hear how our home, our childhood home, has shaped us. And I think it can shape us for good, it can shape us for bad, it can make us excited about using our home well, it can discourage us. And so I think even part of the motivation for me in having this podcast is, like you said, I know there are so many women who didn't come out of homes as children going into adulthood, where they'd seen home just in general done well, home life, hospitality, marriages, families, all that. And so wanting to be, like you said, wanting to be a resource for women who have a desire for it but don't really know where to start. And I think it's exciting to realize, just as we hear these stories from people, maybe we didn't have that, but we can give it to our children. Like, we can be the first generation that shows our kids what a really warm, inviting home is, what it looks like to love people through the home.
Yes,
So
agreed. And I will say, I have a very close friend who she has really the opposite of my story, where she did not come from a good home, did not have a present mom in her life to teach her these things. And I have just been so inspired watching her hone those skills for herself and change the legacy for her family. And I think that, I was so blessed to come from the background that I came from, but I also am just as inspired by someone who didn't come from that and who desires to start a new trajectory for their families.
So one of the main reasons that I was excited to talk to you is because I often ask, since starting this project with the podcast, I every few months or so I try to ask on Instagram, get a feel for people, what is holding you back from hospitality? What is making it difficult or intimidating or really roadblocks in your life? And something that I have come across again and again, is people saying, we live in a really rural setting, and people, I don't have a neighbor, I don't have friends 5, 10 minutes down the road, our church community, we're driving far to our church or something like that. And so it just doesn't seem very practical. I don't really know how to have people come if we're living 30, 45 minutes away, that kind of thing. So knowing that you were in a more rural setting, but knowing that you have curated a home where you're welcoming people and want that to be kind of an epicenter of love and kindness and joy for other people, I was excited to talk to you about how you've done that. I don't know a whole lot about the area you're living in. What's the town life around you? How far is the closest Walmart? I feel like that's a really good gauge for people, or Target. I don't know.
50 minutes. That's how close
Okay.
the
50, 50. Oh my goodness. Okay, so yeah,
Yes,
you're out there.
very rural. Very rural. We live in a farm town. I am really excited to be able to talk about this because I do think that it is Like you said, you have people that you've talked about this with, and I think that it's something that is not talked about often. And so if you do live in a rural area, it is kind of a mystery. How do we go about hospitality when there are seemingly a lot of barriers to it, and like what our normal ideas are of hospitality? For us, there are a couple of challenges where we live. And the first is what you mentioned, the distance. I mean, some of our closest friends do live 30 minutes away, even though they are technically in our county. So, I mean, that's just the case for most people. There is a drive involved. And so that can create a challenge because you really have to have a plan to get together. It's not something that just happens, or that you can just be like in the spur of the moment, do something because it requires that extra time. So, something that Christian and I have just really had to embrace is one, being initiators, being okay with being the one to invite and have people into our home. Because, I mean, this is the case for anywhere you are, but in a rural area, you can very much, because of distance, you very much can become little islands. And so we just learned early on, if we don't embrace being an initiator, oftentimes it doesn't happen. You don't get together with other people. And it does require a little extra planning. And so one of the things that we do is every Sunday after we put the boys to bed, we just sit down for a few minutes, look at our calendars, see what's going on that week, and ask, the question, is there someone we want to reach out to this week and invite into our home? And that's just kind of one of our rhythms that helps us, think about the people that God's putting on our hearts to be hospitable to. And it just helps us be intentional because also, any parents who are parents of young children right now know that it is not a season that you really can be very spur of the moment with people. You really, if you're going to get together with people, you have to put some intention into planning it. So that's just something that we do to make that happen. But one of the other challenges, and this is true for our area, but I'm going to guess it's true for most rural areas, there tend to be big families that live in close proximity. So like grandparents, the kids, the grandkids, aunts and uncles, extended family. So we are very blessed to have that. Christian's parents live just a mile down the road from us. His aunt and uncle live across the road from us. His sister lives close. We have aunts and uncles, all of it. And it is honestly, from someone who did not come from living close to extended family, it is one of the biggest blessings to us. So it's a big blessing, but it also can present a challenge when it comes to hospitality because it's very easy to stay in a bubble and not reach outside of that bubble. You can get very comfortable with your own family, and it doesn't obviously take as much attention with your own family a lot of the time. And so that's one thing that we have recognized in our community is that for ourselves and other people, is that it's just so easy to become isolated. And we, again, family is a huge blessing, but as believers, we know that we are called to reach outside of our families. And so we just, again, back to that intentionality, we just have to be so intentional not to stay in our comfort zones and in our bubbles, and remember to reach outside of that too.
When I was, I think when I was 4 or 5, my family moved out to the country, and we ended up only living in that house for like 3 years. But it was like a house on 3 acres that was kind of surrounded by another farm that was like all one family. So we had like lots of neighbors that were all from the same family, and all the farmland was owned by the same family. And it's true, they were the Robinson family. Like everyone knew them. It was all the houses around us. So I can see how that would be common, and how it would be easy to kind of just stay in that rut of like, you have your people and we don't really need to go outside of that. How does farm life in general, I would assume like at certain times of the year, certain seasons are going to be very heavy workload for your husband and probably for you as well. how did that affect your life as far as having people in? Or is there a really communal aspect of the farming, like where at certain seasons you're having a lot of people around because they're helping with the crops? Or I don't know. I mean, I have this very little house on the prairie barn raising idea, I think. But what does that look like for you today?
Yes. Great question. Our occupation is very seasonal. So during the spring, from early April to about mid-June is planting season. So that is a very busy season where Christian will be leaving, you know, very early in the morning and sometimes not getting in until, you know, way after sundown. So that's planting season. And then we also have harvest season, which is August through, it usually goes until Thanksgiving. Harvest is one of the craziest seasons that we have. And it's the same, but I mean, there's times that Christian will be working, if they're trying to beat a rain, for example, until, you know, 10 or 11 at night. So there's just, during those seasons, we just recognize that we have to totally shift our expectations around hospitality. So our off seasons are the season we're in right now, winter, and then the summer. And so we are very intentional to make those seasons a time to really pour into our relationships and have people in our home and just get together with friends and other people that the Lord puts in our heart, because we know that when those busy seasons come, our capacity is going to be so limited that while we still do get together with people, it's again very limited. Really the only day during the week that it's even possible, unless we get a rain and they're not able to do anything in the fields, is on a Sunday. And that's really our family's day of rest. And so, and it's the only time that Christian's really able to engage with the boys much, and just rest himself. And so we just, we really try to be so intentional during the off seasons, knowing that it's going to be limited during the busy seasons. And to answer your question about like, what does that look like with the community? It's definitely not like Little House on the Prairie days anymore.
At least
where the kind of farming that we do, it is communal in that many of the other people who live in our community are also in agriculture. And so they understand that like they're also in a busy season and they also don't have the same capacity. So that's nice because people understand where you're at and there's an understanding there. And then we're a little bit, you know, on the same timeline, but yeah, it's, it looks different. I love Little House on the Prairie. So
yeah.
That's like what I grew up on. There are things that are similar and there are things that are very different in modern farming.
I'm sure. Yeah. So what has motivated you through the years, through seasons of having little boys? I mean, you still have little boys. Keeps you motivated to invite people into your home and not just like you mentioned earlier, you said, you know, sometimes it's friends, sometimes it's other people that you feel like God is just encouraging you to have in your home and be friends with. What motivates you to make that a priority in your home? Because it does sound like something that you and your husband have prioritized kind of as a team, and it's not just something you want. What motivates you guys to do that?
Yeah, my husband and I, hosting people in our home is one of our favorite things to do as a couple. We both are really passionate about it. And so that has been something that's been fun in our marriage to just learn how to be a team. I think one of the first and biggest things that motivates me is just the people living inside our home. I mean, my husband and my children, they are definitely who I feel called to be hospitable to first. And so just wanting to create that atmosphere of peace and beauty and warmth for them, and knowing that God has given me the power and my role as the heart of the home to set the atmosphere and the tone of our home. And so I'm really it's for them first, and then for the people that we invite in, just knowing that our home is a vessel to be used for the Lord's purposes and for His glory, that gives me so much inspiration because it takes the pressure off of it being performative and about self-glorification or, whatever. And it totally puts the perspective on whoever's coming into our home or the people inside of our home. It's about ministering to them, encouraging them, being a blessing, inspiring them. That is what God has given me to do. Nothing more, nothing less.
And remind me, I feel like I saw something about this on your Instagram, but is the home that you're living in, is it a generational home that you inherited from a family member
Yes,
of his? Yeah, okay.
that is kind of a fun story. So Christian's grandparents, they were the ones who actually started this farm that we live on now. So they used to farm in Indiana, and then in the 60s, they saw an opportunity for buying this property that we live on in Mississippi, and so they moved their whole family here and started farming here. Our farm actually started as a dairy, and so they, his grandparents converted it to row crop, the row crop farm that we have now. And they also built this house that we live in. And then a couple of years ago, we, Christian and I, were able to renovate it and really make it ours.
That's
And
really
actually, to
special.
kind of add on to that, I'm going to backtrack a little bit because I want to mention this. When we were talking about the challenges to living in a rural area, so I talked about the challenge of people inside of our community and, reaching out to them. But I wanted to address too the people that don't live in our community that we have into our home from like friends and family who live, a day's drive or more away. The challenge there is the lack of amenities that we have in our rural area. And so that's been something that me and Christian over the past few years have really been exploring because we are very passionate about being able to have our friends and family from far away come and stay with us. So the reason I bring this up is because talking about this home, when we started this renovation a couple of years ago, there was this little building just right beside our house that back when our farm was a dairy farm, it was a milking parlor. So it's where they milked their cows. And then when Christian's grandparents converted it to a row crop farm, they turned that building into a office where they actually had a seed business for a period of time. And so they turned it into a seed office. And then they got out of that business, and this tiny little building just stood, useless for years and years. And it was slowly becoming in disrepair and all the things. And so when Christian and I, when God opened the door to renovate our house, the first project that we tackled was this little building. And the reason that we really wanted to do it was for the purpose of these people that are coming to stay with us out of town. We just wanted to create that amenity. So we converted it into a little guest house. We call it our little house. And so we have a, bathroom, a bedroom, a little kitchenette, a living room. And our vision truly was just these friends and family that do come and stay with us. We just want them to be able to come, have a place of rest and respite from whatever kinds of things they have going on in their life and to just minister to them in that way. I mean, those of us who live in these rural areas, typically your cost of living is lower. And so you have a little bit more flexibility to use those funds that you would otherwise be using on, a higher cost of living toward being creative and creating the amenities that you don't have where you live. So that's kind of what we're in the process of doing now as we think about the future, is just vision casting the other things that we can put on our property or in our home to bless the people that come.
And I think that's something that it's not a norm in our culture for people to think about their homes in that way. People definitely think about their homes very much like, what do I want in a home? What do I want my home to be for me? And I do think there is a balance. I mean, you were talking earlier about being hospitable to the people in our homes, which I think is really important and ought to be a priority for us. How can I make my home the best for the people who are in it every day? They're sleeping in it, they're playing in it, they're eating in it, we're visiting, we're living our lives in these four walls. So we ought to make it a priority to be what it needs to be for those people. But then to go beyond that, to think, what are the ways that we can make our home a really fun or safe or comfortable or happy place for other people to be? And that's going to look different for everyone because everyone has, like you said, different resources, different incomes, different costs of living depending where they live. And so it's not that everyone needs to have a guest house, but if you have that option, great. Maybe you just have a bedroom, whatever it might be, taking
Absolutely.
some time to think ahead about those things and think again, just thinking about how can I use my home to love other people. Maybe you don't always have a whole room that you can give, but you utilize other parts of your house in different ways to
Yes.
be welcoming to people. And I love hearing how you guys have thought through that and how that's a priority for you to
Just
have.
really embracing the place and resources that the Lord has given you. I think that has just given us freedom, because when we think with this, with a limited mindset of like all the things that we don't have or all of the, amenities that we don't have, we're so stifled. And but when we can just be radically content with the position that God has put us in and just think creatively about what has he given me that I can be creative in, that will bless our family and bless other people. And so that's just been what's been on our heart to do.
And I can say from personal experience, even on the receiving end of hospitality, last summer we moved from Israel back home to Texas, and we knew that we were only going to be in Texas for a short period of time because then we were going to be coming to the UK. And so it wasn't really an option for us to like rent a house or have a house of our own. Like, didn't make sense to do that for a few months' time. And so for 3 months, with just the kindness of friends and family, we moved from house to house. Sometimes we stayed for a weekend, sometimes a whole week. There were a couple places we stayed 2 to 4 weeks. And those experiences were vastly different. I mean, sometimes there was one situation where the couple was out of town and gave us their entire house, which was so kind and so restful for us. And then most situations we were living with other people, and some of them had big houses, some of them had small houses. Some of them had a lot of kids, some of them were single, or whatever it might. There was just a lot of different experiences, and that didn't really make a difference to us. It wasn't like, oh, we preferred the big, spacious, empty houses. Like, people just making us feel welcome in their home was what mattered the most, even if we were all, sharing 2 bedrooms between the six of us or something like that. That is what meant the most to us. So I think that's important to remember because I know there's a temptation to just give up. Like, well, I just don't have the space or I don't have the resources. Just sharing whatever you do have. And I think about just the example of the feeding of the 5,000. God can make what you have given willingly, given joyfully, enough for whatever it is that he's asking you to share. And so that's helpful to remember.
And I think ourselves and our own, we all come with our own insecurities and, we're human. And so I think sometimes God just gives us those opportunities with other people when we go into another person's home and he allows there to be a time that we recognize that, oh my goodness, like you just said, I am so ministered by them, and it has nothing to do with these particular set of circumstances. It's just by their heart for wanting to bless me.
You don't have to have the Pinterest home
No.
or the right amount of pillows on your couch or anything like that. And that's the funny thing to me, that as I've interviewed people last year for the first season, and then I'm almost finished interviewing everyone for the second season, and this theme or this ribbon comes up again and again when I ask people, what would you say to people who are saying, how do I make my home more inviting, or how do I make my home a place that people feel welcomed and comfortable? And the number one answer, it's not like people giving tips on how to, thrift the right decor, although that's helpful and of course can be a part of it. The number one answer that people are consistently giving is your heart right? And is your heart open and welcoming to people? Because people will sense that. And if that's not right, then it doesn't matter what your house looks like. It doesn't matter if the meal is really nice and yummy. If you are not welcoming them as a person, then it's kind of going to be a bust from there on out. And again, I think that's helpful because that's something that is available to all of us. We can all create that attitude in our hearts towards other people, no matter what our budget is or our house looks like or anything like that. So one of the things that I like to ask guests in closing is if you have any funny mishaps or embarrassing stories or just a good laugh that you want to share with us.
Yes, I do. There's one story that really comes to the forefront of my mind, and it was early on in me and Christian's marriage. There's been many such stories, but this one just always is the one that we laugh about to this day. So Christian had this friend from college who came and stayed with us. I mean, I'm telling you, we were like maybe a few months married at the time. And so he comes and stays with us. And the first night that he was here, I was trying to prepare this beautiful meal. It was going to be chicken Alfredo, and I had, all the different things ready. I had put everything on the dining table so we could serve from there. And told them, okay, like we're ready to eat. And we got to the table and we all sat down. We even blessed the meal and we started serving. And I realized I had not even made the noodles. All I had
No.
was the sauce. And so Christian just graciously asked, honey, are we missing something? And I was just like, okay, this was. I'm gonna have to. Yeah, I'm gonna have to go. I'm gonna have to go make those real quick. But it
That's
was just
amazing.
very humbling, but hilarious. I mean, we all laughed about it.
Yeah. Were you like humiliated in that moment, or were you straight to the like, this is hilarious?
I think both. I think both
Yeah.
because it was hilarious because I know that as a young wife, I was definitely trying to, show this college friend, like, look what a good homemaker I am. And
Yes,
then God
yes.
was like, you need a little bit of humility.
Oh my
So
goodness, that's amazing.
it was both.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us so we can laugh along with you. I'm so grateful for you chatting with me today, Laura. I really enjoyed our conversation and just
Me
hearing about
too.
the sweet life you've built with your family out on the farm. It's a very unique life that not a lot of us really get a peek into, and I think others will be encouraged by it as well. You can find Laura on Instagram at Behind Our Farm, and I will link her account in the show notes below.
Thank you so much for having me, Jessica. It has been a treat.
Thank you for listening to our conversation today. I hope it encourages you to use the home you have to share the goodness of God in tangible ways. Any links, products, or recipes we mentioned, as well as social media tags, will be in the show notes below. You can also find our Instagram page for the show at Taste and See Podcast, where I share more practical hospitality tips and encouragement.